the sound? Is there sound coming through? And I have my seat and my phone. My phone is recording this, so I can't see if the sound is coming through or not. I'm assuming it's all good. I'm gonna go check and see if I get a thumbs up from someone. I'm gonna check the monitor. Hold on, we're right back. Nikki gives me a thumbs up. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Miss Nikki. So, I'm still wet. My hair is wet. I don't even know this. Every single week of my life when we have church, every Sunday, just because I want to be presentable, I always shave my cheekies, got a nice, smooth, cheeky cheeks. My kids love that. There's no sandpaper to rub their faces on. So I always shave this. I always comb my hair nice and put hair product in. Every Sunday when I have church, I try to dress a little nicer. I wear my good jeans on Sunday. I used to have 3 pairs of good jeans. Now I'm going to have 1 pair of good jeans because the knees wear out. I'm rough on a pair of jeans, I guess. But so I'm all wet. My clothes are wet. My jeans are wet. My shoes are wet. My hair is all wet and disheveled. We tried to do church an hour and a half ago, and that storm came through something fierce. It was crazy. It was nuts. I was going to push through it, but we looked off on the horizon, and the sky was green. Straight up green. The sky was green. So we're like, so I told everyone to go home, put everything away. The storm hit, and all of us got soaked. Everything put away. It was pretty funny. It was a pretty funny thing. I'm going to check to make sure it sounds good. Hold on. Sounds great. Good, not great. Okay, all right. It's not great because my voice isn't great. I've been battling this throat thing for a while. So, we're going to do a live stream, just us here on Facebook. I'm in my office. Behind me are some of my books. What up? That's what it is. So, I'm going to pray to start off. Just gonna pray. I need it. I'm just kind of like, I was crazy. I was just trying to calm down, be cool. So I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna open up the word together, and let's let God use what He can use. You know, we offer up these crazy offerings. For everyone that came today an hour and a half ago, sorry to come and leave. I woke up this morning. I had no idea a storm on the horizon until people started coming, telling me, "Is there a storm coming?" I'm like, really? So we're trying to watch that better. Being outside is a different animal. It's new for me. I never met outside as a regular thing. So I apologize. I had to drive and drive away. But you know what? Everyone who came, love seeing you guys. I'm encouraged to see you. And let's go ahead and pray together. Father in heaven, we pray for those in our church family who wait for their coronavirus test results. We pray for those in our church family who are in quarantine because of their coronavirus test results. We pray for those, Lord, there's so much fear and tension and even some anger. Everyone's mad at everybody. Help us as believers in Christ to not add to the anger. Let us not be those who raise our fists in rage. Let us be those who love, who submit to just law, who seek the betterment of our neighbors. Father, help us get past our pride to be more like you. We want to be like you. So bless the time and bless your word that is read this day. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Is this tougher not being with you? I know I'm on this live thing, but I was going to see your faces. But I have a question. I want you to think about this for real. It's this. I want you to picture this in your mind. What do you picture when you think of a godly man or a godly woman? What do you picture in your mind? What does a holy man look like? What does a godly woman look like? Paint a picture in your mind. Someone who is near to God. What do they look like? How do they dress? How do they walk? What came to your mind? Some of you, you might have thought of maybe a grandparent who loved Jesus and was a godly person. You think of this person who was meek and mild, sweet and gentle. Maybe some of you, I talked to some lady the other day, and she talked to me about Buddhist monks, how holy they were, living, you know, without belongings in these monasteries all over India. Is that what a holy person is to you? Is it the Dalai Lama? Is it the Pope? Do they have an outfit? Or do they not have an outfit? When you think of someone who is close to God, a holy man or a holy woman, what do you picture and what do they look like? For many of us, the picture we bring up in our mind, wherever they live or whoever they are, they're not like us. We think of someone else. A godly person lives a life that's not like my life. A godly person is a nun or a monk or a priest. And we think some people give their lives as pursuing God and the rest of us do our thing and hope and pray that maybe, maybe God will let us sing. Maybe my good, the good I do, will outweigh the bad. Who can approach God? What does a holy person look like? Who stands between heaven and earth that those of us who live normal, everyday, work-a-week lives can look to and say, that person knows God and can tell me what he looks like? We are in Exodus 28. We're walking through history in this very, very old book. Some might ask, well, why are we reading so much about the nation of Israel? Why is Jewish history important to Jesus' people? Good question. Listen, the Jewish story is the Christian story. If you understand who Christ is, you understand Christ is a Jewish person coming from a Jewish culture and Jewish roots. And the Jewish story with God is literally the backdrop of all that we experience now with the God of heaven. So as Israel left Egypt and was seeking to build a new nation, God gave Israel a law. Last week, God gave them directions to build a tabernacle, a tent. This tent was where God was going to meet with his people. His glory would fall on the tent and the people would know God dwells with us. Now, there's this tabernacle, but who can go in this thing? Who can go into God's holy presence? 28 verse 1, then bring near to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him, from among the priests, from among the people of Israel, to serve me as priests. God says, set aside Aaron and his family, and Aaron and his sons are going to serve me as priests. You shall speak, okay, so you shall make, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with the spirit of skill, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him for my priesthood. These people are set apart. Aaron and his kids are set apart. And you read what happens here, and it's unbelievable. Aaron and his kids, Aaron is the brother of Moses, okay? And Aaron will serve as a priest before God. Aaron has a different role in society than other people. Aaron is not a king. He's not a prophet. He's not a policeman. He is a priest. And what a priest does, see what Aaron does, Aaron stands between Israel and Yahweh. Aaron stands between Israel and Yahweh. That's what a priest does. A priest stands between heaven and earth, between the holy and the unholy, the immortal and the mortal, between God and humanity. And if Israel wants to come to God's presence, they can't. They can't go into the tabernacle. They can't go into the holy place or the most holy place. They cannot, and they can't offer sacrifices to God. They can't bring their worship. They can't bring repentance. They can't bring any of that stuff. If a Jewish person, if a family wants to worship, they must come to the priest, and the priest brings the worship to Yahweh. And Aaron and his brothers stand in this holy gap. That's their function of priest. They dress very weird, dude. In America, we have priests that dress funny, don't we? Not funny, I apologize. But if you're a Lutheran, right, or a Catholic, you get the cool collar. I always wanted one of those collars. It looks so formal. The popes, the cardinals, the Catholic tradition, have cooler vestments. If you go to India or China and see the Buddhist monks, they have their own clothes to wear to show that they are set apart. Well, the priest, Aaron the high priest of Israel, he had some clothes made for him. And his clothes were the same color as the color of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, the tent, was God's home on earth. And because Aaron matched in color and pattern, you'd see, oh, this guy serves there. His clothing was regal. His clothing was described as glorified, beautiful, and holy. No one in Israel had an outfit like Aaron the high priest. When you saw him wearing it, you know this guy is set apart for God. This guy brings our prayers and our worship to Yahweh. That's the function of a priest, to stand between heaven and earth. If you have trouble, you go to the tabernacle and you find a priest, and that priest will bring your needs before the Lord. That's what a priest does. Not only did Aaron dress different to show himself unique among Israel, there's a consecration ceremony. You read in chapter 29, they are going to kill one bull and two rams to consecrate the priests. There's a lot of blood here. The first animal they kill, they burn the whole thing on the altar. And Israel sees the smoke rising and knows they are consecrating the priests. And there are two rams. The first ram they kill, they take the blood of that ram and they put it on the base of the altar, put it on the horns of the altar, and they take some of the blood and they put the right ear and the right thumb and the right big toe of the priests to consecrate them as priests. Because even though a priest is to approach God, the priests are not holy. The priests are just people. Like Aaron's going to screw up. Aaron's kids are going to screw up. These priests are just people with the same lust and greed and anger as any normal human being. They got to get cleaned of their sin before they can go to God on our behalf. They have to be cleaned before they can help to clean us. And there's 7 days of purification. 7 days of blood to consecrate the priest. And these priests would serve Israel in a very unique way. Now, here's some history for you. In the Israeli, the Jewish world today, there are no priests. There are rabbis, teachers of the law, but no priests. You know why? Because there is no temple. There is no tabernacle. There is no holy place. There is no sacrifice for sin for the Jewish believer right now. They're still in exile in a real way. The Jews don't have priests. But man, there's still priests around, aren't they? We'll get to priests later. That's the history. Aaron the priest stood between Israel and Yahweh. And this is foreshadowing. As you read the whole Bible, as the priesthood is corrupted mightily through history, and it is, because every system of humanity is able to be corrupted, isn't it? Every system. You know, I'm going to go ahead and be just a jerk and be controversial because I don't give a rip. I do. I've got to say true things. There is no holy organizational system. Every system given to humanity, I don't care if it's capitalist or socialist, a theocracy or a democracy, you put that in the reins of a human person, they're going to use it corruptively. It's going to happen. The priesthood's corrupted over time. But it still points to something. It points to a truth. It points to the fact that we as people need a mediator. We need someone to stand in the gap between me and God. I need someone to stand between heaven and earth and show me the way to bring me and my concerns and my sin and my sadness before the Lord. The priesthood fails in Israel. Fails. And we find in Hebrews that there is a greater high priest than Aaron. There is a greater high priest than Aaron. Listen to this, Hebrews 7, verse 6. These preparations, having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section of the tabernacle, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened, as long as the first section is still standing. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. A lot of stuff here. He's saying the tabernacle and the priests couldn't do what needed to be done. It couldn't solve the problem. It ends by saying this, verse 23. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Stop right here. Listen. If you read Hebrews, you will see over and over and over again. Jesus is a better high priest than Aaron. Aaron had to offer sacrifice for his own sin every single year to cleanse himself before he could cleanse the people. Well, Christ comes to God without sin. Not only that, Aaron had on his breastplate, on his clothing, he had 12 stones, okay? On each stone was written a name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when Aaron came before the Lord, he carried with him all of Israel. But Christ isn't coming to the Father just for Israel. He's coming for all nations. Christ, if he, let's say he had a breastplate on, there wouldn't be 12 stones. There'd be a stone for every single people group on the planet. Christ brings all humanity to his Father. Aaron stood between Israel and Yahweh as a mediator, but Christ stands as a better high priest between all of humanity and his Father, and he brings us into the heavenlies. Christ is the greater high priest. Christ brings all people, not just Jews, all people, Mexicans, African Americans, Puerto Ricans, Indians, Chinese, all Filipinos, all people, Russians, Europeans, white folk, all people. Christ brings everyone with him into God's presence. He's a greater high priest. When we read about Aaron being consecrated, Christ walks sinless into God's presence. He needs not offer any sacrifice for himself. And he brings all humanity with him into God's presence. He brings you and I. The word said, there is now only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stands between heaven and earth. He stood there. And he crossed this uncrossable chasm. Jesus made a bridge from sinful humanity all the way to his holy Father. Christ is a great high priest who did this holy work. And now any person can cross on the road Christ built and come into the presence of the Father. You can come. So first, Aaron stood between Israel and Yahweh, and Christ stood between humanity and his Father. And that is the gospel. It's the good news. Christ stands in that gap. Christ carries us where we could not go. But there's one more movement, one more step. The priesthood of Israel points to the priesthood of Christ, but it points to another priesthood. In Christ, every Christ follower stands between the lost and Jesus. Aaron the priest points to Christ, the greater priest, but points to the priesthood of every single follower of Jesus. Here's the reality that you must understand. I am not Aaron. I am not a Jewish priest. I don't wear a collar. I don't know if you've noticed, my outfit sucks. My brother's on the phone the other day. He's talking to my other brother. And he's here getting set up at the Carrolldale Flint City Church. And someone asks him, hey man, why does your brother always wear gray t-shirts? And my brother just goes, he's a simple man, dude, he's a simple man. It's true. My uniform is a gray t-shirt, jeans. That's what I wear every single day of my life. I got my drawer, I open my drawer every day. There's gray shirts and blue jeans, socks and underwear. That's all I got, that's all I need in the world. Not very holy garments, are they? Because I'm not a priest. I don't stand between you and heaven. I don't. In Christ, we are told that we are all priests. That we all have access to the Father. We all can bring others into God's presence. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. And the point, what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. Whoa. For every every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest to also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Instead, a priest will offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was told by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. Listen to the new covenant. Listen to what the new covenant sounds like. Listen to what he says in verse 8. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I show no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor, and each one his neighbor, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest." Did you catch that? He said, there's going to be no teachers, no priests, because everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know the Lord. Listen, I am not a superhero closer to God than any of you. I'm not. Now, my function is odd in society. I didn't go and learn how to be a nurse. I didn't go learn computer science. I spent 4 years at the high school. I went and learned to read the Bible. And so I am this, God has given me to the church as a present, as a gift, to serve his people. That's my function, is to serve his people. I'm a shepherd, a servant. That's what I do. But it says, I'm given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So my job is to help you learn how to follow better and do the work he's called you to. To facilitate. I have no new truth for you. I got nothing. If I'm not telling you what this book says, I should shut my mouth and move to Pacoima, I guess. I don't know. I'm not. I don't stand in the gap. You're so crazy. I'm not some high priest you need to come to get God to hear your prayers. Because God hears you with the same ear he hears me. Not only that, we all have the high and holy calling to bring the lost to Jesus. There are people you know in your family, at your workplace, people live next door to your house or your trailer, your apartment. And you see their struggles. You see their hurts. You see their fears. And you, when you pray for them, when you bring them before the Lord in prayer, you are acting as a priest for them. You're bringing their souls before the Lord. We, all of us, function in Christ as priests. It's called the priesthood of all believers. There is now not. We all think there is the sacred and the secular. There's not. There's just life. I try so hard to be a person. A normal person with hobbies who pays bills. I don't want you to think of me as some person who's not living a real life. I live in the same world you live in. I do. I may read more than some of you. I still mow my lawn. I gotta go home today and call the plumber because my stinking AC is leaking out of the basement. Just like you. We live this life. Every one of us. Aaron stood as a priest between Israel and Yahweh. And Christ stood as a priest between humanity and his Father. Thanks be to Jesus who stood in that gap and brings us all to his Father. And when we meet Christ, when we trust Christ, when we love Christ, when we follow Christ, when we become his student, his disciple, something nuts happens. You're not just a truck driver. You're not just a teacher, not just a lawyer, not just a cook. Whatever job you got, you might be a cook, but you're God's cook and a priest in that restaurant. Maybe a trucker, you're God's trucker and a trucker in that restaurant, in that chicken truck station, truck stop. Every one of us has a new ministry. We bring people to Jesus. We help stand the gap for our neighbors, our friends, our families. You do that. You can do that. I can do that. I want you to know, church, I know you're like, well, you're the pastor. You're paid to do the stuff. Listen. We're a small inner city church. Someday, I might not get paid to do this. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do it. Because I ain't doing this for money. I've worked not in the church. I've been a cook. I've worked in retail. I've sewn a hammer. I've done a lot of things in my life to make money. No matter what I did to provide for my family, whatever job I had, I was always, always in Christ, standing between those who do not know him and my Savior whom I love and who loved me and died for me. And you stand in that same place. So you may not be a priest like Aaron was. You don't have cool clothes. No one's putting blood in your ear, your thumb, or your toe. We ain't killing no cows in your honor. Ain't happening. And you're not a priest of Jesus, because Jesus was sinless and brings all humanity to God and literally redeems our souls. We can't redeem nobody. But I can pray, and I can love, and I can make a difference in the lives of those right next to me, and so can you. All the blessings God pours on you, you can pour on others. And that's the duty of the new priesthood under this new covenant. I'm standing here, I'm teaching you things right now. I know I read this Bible, I study it. You can read it too. You can read it too. You can know him. You can bring your loved one before his feet. What I'm saying is, I'm not the church. And that tent that's soaking wet is not the church. That's not God's plan to change the world. You, wherever you're sitting, in your basement, your living room, wherever you are his body. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. It's beautiful to me. What does Exodus call Aaron's outfit? It's holy. It's full of glory and full of beauty. And so are we. In Christ, we are made holy. In Christ, we reflect the glory of Jesus. And in Christ, we are made beautiful. You know what it says about Jesus? It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who go to and fro and bring the message of the gospel of peace. When you bring the love of Christ to people, when you bring the hope of Christ to people, you are beautiful. The work you're doing is beautiful. So, church, happy rainy Sunday. I love you very much. I'm grateful to be a servant here at Flint City Church. But always remember, I'm a butt. And I'm not a holy man. I'm made holy by Christ, but I'm no more closer to God than you are. So let us together go forward in this city and in this land and bring some love and some peace and some truth. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for standing between us and God. Thank you for bringing us in our sin and our rebellion before your Father. For taking from us the spirit of fear and giving us the spirit of adoption. I'm not an orphan. In you, there are no orphans. In you, we have a home. We have a family, and we have a Father who loves us. Thank you for loving us, for calling us. And thank you for this mission, this purpose you've called us to. Just you set aside Aaron, you set all of us aside, every one of us you set aside to do your holy work wherever we may live. Wherever we may walk, wherever we may work, we have been given your holy mission to be a priest of you in our workplaces and homes and neighborhoods. Let us pray with tears for those who hate you and are far from you. Let our hearts be heavy and broken for those who are so scared in order to turn. It is my prayer, Lord, that our neighbors and friends and family would learn the great joy that comes from resting in you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. In Christ's holy, glorified, and beautiful name we pray. Amen. Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm going to change you.